Welcome to Raising Humans, a podcast from 6 Seconds, the Emotional Intelligence Network. I'm Rachel Ann Goodman. Thanks for tuning in today. On November 9th, Americans woke up to the news that Donald Trump was president. To say emotions were high is a grand understatement. For supporters, they were excited and perhaps surprised that their candidate won. For many voters, emotions ranged from shock to sorrow to fear for their children's future. Many teachers walked into classrooms where children were crying, afraid that they or their parents would be deported. Some African American children said they felt the new president hated them, while many girls expressed feeling vulnerable. How can parents and teachers reassure their kids of their safety when they themselves are exposed to fear and media messages of discrimination? How can parents navigate their own emotions and maintain their role for their children as their protectors when they are feeling vulnerable or angry? We asked Patty Friedman, partner and wife of Josh Friedman, 6 Seconds CEO, to reflect on her feelings and conversations she's had with her two teenagers.
I actually was watching the election results come in with my daughter, who is away at school, and we both just cried and cried that night. And I think I didn't share with her how very afraid I was about what I could see the future becoming. And I think I was trying to protect her from the enormity of my feelings. But, both my kids, my son and my daughter, are very engaged in the world. And this is so much bigger than other things we've encountered. And I just feel like we're in uncharted territory. And so that feels really overwhelming.
She talked about how she's empowered her kids to act on their beliefs and to do collective activities that help them feel like they are participating in a solution.
I think the most important step that we've taken is to let the kids feel powerful, and that can look different for different ages. In my case, because I've got teenagers, my daughter is going to fly to DC and go to the Women's March and feel like she's part of this group of people standing together and show their strength, that they're going to be counted and not give up. And in my son's case, I think we're going to take lots of smaller actions. He's teenagers are wonderful people because they're like ridiculously honest and they keep you on your toes and they smell hypocrisy and they call you on it right away. So I just feel like in general, I'm going to have to be a lot more awake and not let, news go by that upsets me and just let it wash over me. I'm going to take more action. I have a cousin who's constantly emailing me with calls to Senate or letters or postcards we can mail. And in the past, I've not been very politically active, but I feel myself getting more involved now.
We also talked to Jenny Wiley. She's 6 Seconds operations manager and has a teenage son. As she and her husband watched the results come in, she had a sinking feeling.
My husband went to bed. He goes, "Oh no, she's going to win. No." And I'm like, "It's not looking good." And he's like, no, it's definitely, she's going to pull through. It's going to pull through. Yeah. And so then when I woke him up at midnight to say no, she just called him. And then he couldn't sleep for like 2 more hours. He was all like, he couldn't sleep the whole night.
Now, a few weeks later, after the election is over, emotions at her house are still running high, even though she and her husband both generally agree. It's a highly charged subject, bringing adrenaline and upset whenever it comes up. She said they find themselves yelling even when they're agreeing. How can they talk to their son about the election when it's so upsetting to them?
It's like my husband and I, when we're talking, even though we're agreeing, we are getting our blood pressure up. We are still having, we're almost arguing, although we're on the same side. And it's like we're making ourselves stressed out, but we're agreeing with each other.
At her son's school, kids immediately reacted, sometimes in very unkind ways.
It was more like at school, just that some kids were, called names and told back, there was a boy born here, and he was told about to go back to his country. The homecoming princess was called names. She's half African American. Yeah, just seeing that some of his friends were called names, and actually they took it pretty well, but it was their parents when they heard it. Of course, it just crushed them. And so just, you know, even and then even the kids who he knows that, you know, were supporters, you know, we can't. Well, first of all, one thing I said is as far as the teens, I'm not don't hold it against them because they haven't been to college and they haven't really formed their own opinions. They're getting their thoughts and feelings mainly from their parents.
For Jenny, she feels that exercising optimism is the best way to focus on the future we want, where everyone is treated with respect and caring, rather than a feared or imagined future where hate gets to rule the day.
I felt extremely despairing. But yet, well, what I told him was, you know, it's for 4 years, and so then there's going to be, there's always the opportunity for change after 4 years.
Mei Duong, 6Seconds Director of Parent Education, and my co-host, sat down with the teen, Vivian, to talk about her reaction to the election and to watching adults who voted differently argue amongst themselves during a Thanksgiving dinner. Vivian is 13.
Our family's kind of divided between the two parties, which is understandable, and everyone has their own opinions and values. But it's like kind of frustrating when you hear one side, but then the other side won't like open their ears and listen, and you want them to just not change their side, but just kind of like understand how the other person thinks, because it's really hard to talk to someone when they're set on one perspective and they just don't want to see the other side, because there's always another side to a story. Mm-hmm. And I think that if people see the both sides of the story, that it'd be more understandable for everyone to talk instead of just arguing on this one topic when so many see it different ways.
Mm-hmm. So how are you feeling given all the conversations you've been hearing?
I think it's kind of fun to listen to. I really like listening to politics because it's really interesting in my opinion. And it can be a little frustrating because you don't really get what the other person's saying. But then when you do listen, it's like, oh, I kind of get why he or she sees it that way.
Mm-hmm. So what are some issues that are important to you that you've heard being discussed?
Well, a lot with like sexism and like how Hillary Clinton has like double standards, especially since she's a woman, where like other secretaries of states have done the same thing, but since they were men, they didn't exactly have that expectation, or they just didn't like, how do I say this? They didn't like get like grilled for it as much as she did. And with Trump, like how this is, like how, what's his locker room talking, like how this is like acceptable, like almost because people have like just let it gone by. And like now, like as a girl, like I kind of worry, because if this is accepted, like, and for future generations to come, it's kind of like scary to just go out.
May asked Vivian how she felt about the attitudes of the president-elect toward his opponent, a woman, and toward girls in general.
Do you ever feel like there are double standards, that there are different standards for boys versus for girls? And where do you see that? How does that come out?
Well, not really in, like, school, but just in, like, media, in which, like, oh, girls are supposed to like this, or girls are supposed to be like this, like, prim and proper. But there are, like, a lot of different ways you can be a girl. Like, you don't have to follow these specific guidelines to be a girl. And I kind of just, and, like, with other things, like, oh, boys can do this, but girls can't do this. And if girls do that, it's, like, wrong. Mm-hmm. And I kind of think that's just, like, it's kind of really old-fashioned considering our society now.
So now, as you're listening to all this and hearing different sides, and does it make you excited and want to be involved in whether, you know, excited to get to vote and be involved and get, have a voice? Or does it make you kind of worry, like, gosh, if this is what politics is all about, this is what the bigger world is all about, does it worry you? Does it stress you out?
It kind of worries me, especially like when we, like when people talk about it and like our future, it's like, it's kind of like worrying, but at the same time, it kind of makes me excited because I do want a voice and I do have my own opinions, but sometimes like as a kid, I just don't want to, you know, voice in so much because I feel like, oh, someone's just gonna shoot me down. So I kind of like want to be able to vote when I'm older, but at the same time, not really, because it's kind of scary.
And what would be Vivian's advice to any girls who are feeling discouraged by negative messages?
Defy those expectations of being what you're supposed to be and just be who you are. But at the same time, listen and understand how the other person thinks, because in the end, you are going to learn a lot, even though you might not agree at a time. But when you reflect back on that conversation, you might pick something up that you never thought you would pick up.
Great. Awesome. Thank you. Advice. Okay. Thanks, Vivian.
This has been Raising Humans, a podcast from 6 Seconds, the Emotional Intelligence Network. I'm Rachel Ann Goodman, along with Mei Duong, Director of Parent Education for 6 Seconds, saying thanks so much for listening. And please send us any comments or questions you may have for future podcasts.